Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Beth Fertig and for Brian Lehrer. So as you've been hearing on WNYC News, Albany is still in a state of gridlock on this last official day of the legislative session. Republicans in the Senate say they're going to work today, even though the Democrats don't recognize their coup as legal. And Governor Patterson has said he'll call a special session starting tomorrow, even though Republicans say they'll stay home. Among many things still up in the air, the future of the New York City school system. The district of more than a million students is now run by the mayor of New York City. But the 2002 law that gave him that power expires on June 30th. Last week, the state assembly passed a bill to renew mayoral control with a few changes. Governor Patterson is now saying he wants the Senate to act on this bill, assuming Democrats and Republicans can stand to be in the same room as each other. Joining me now to talk about the bill and the latest from Albany is Elizabeth Green of the website GothamSchools.org. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Hi, Beth. How are you?
Good. So let's just sum this up. The Assembly's bill is a big win for the mayor, mostly because it preserves his power over what's called the Panel for Educational Policy, which replaced the old Board of Education. Can you go over that a little and just tell us why the mayor likes the Assembly bill?
Sure. So some of the critics of mayoral control as it is right now wanted to put some what they call checks and balances to the mayor's power over the schools. And one of the major checks and balances that was discussed was to strengthen the PEP, which is the new version of the citywide school board.
The Panel for Educational Policy.
Exactly. So the assembly bill really doesn't change the PEP in a way that would challenge the mayor's authority. He still gets to appoint a majority of the members of the PEP. There are now going to be, under the assembly bill, there would be two parents on the PEP that the mayor would have to appoint. But he can dismiss any person, any member of the board that he appointed at his pleasure.
And that was the contentious issue, right? Because the mayor appoints 8 out of the 13 members, and there were some lawmakers who thought that at the very least, these members should be able to stay if they disagree with the mayor. There was a vote several years ago on ending social promotion or to stop promoting third graders who fail their state exams. Mm-hmm. And two or three of these PEP members were fired for disagreeing with the mayor, right?
Right. People called that the Monday night massacre because the members who indicated they were going to vote against his proposal, he just said goodbye to them overnight. So, yeah, that's what people were pushing for is called fixed terms. So if the members had a fixed term that they had to serve, then the mayor could not dismiss them like that. And the panel could actually say, you know what, I don't like the policy that you're putting forward. I'm going to vote against it. And, you know, there could be some back and forth, some democratic discussion over school policy.
But that is not in the assembly bill.
Not in the assembly bill.
Okay. We've heard a lot about increasing transparency. The assembly has portrayed their bill as doing more to promote that. Explain, is there more oversight in the assembly bill of the Department of Education?
Right. I think there is. The assembly bill calls for giving new powers to the Independent Budget Office to check in on the Department of Education's numbers. So that means they could issue reports about test scores, graduation rates, and budget. And that's something that's been a real criticism of the last 6 years, is that it's hard to get information out of the Department of Education. Since the mayor controls the schools, he controls the information. Giving this extra power to the Independent Budget Office, I think, could really improve transparency. There's a lot of questions about exactly how it would work, but even people who are very critical of the current administration tell me that they like that part of the assembly bill.
One other thing that was being debated so much was the whole role of community input, especially when schools close, others open, or a charter school moves into a building with another public school. The assembly bill, as I understand it, would add some more teeth to that current system of review by the community education councils, which replaced the old local school boards. Tell us about that. Is there more community participation in this assembly bill?
That's That's a good question. I think that there's a lot of debate about that. It's a lot about, you know, how will this bill actually end up playing out in reality. So, yes, there is a longer period of notification about a school closure, and there is a requirement, I think, for a few more public hearings. But some advocates have told me, you know, so what does that mean? They have a public hearing, but just having a hearing doesn't mean that the Department of Education would have to listen to what the public says. So yes and no. I think another avenue that people who crafted this bill think will increase community input is the superintendent, which maybe we could talk about that a little bit.
That there technically are still superintendents, even though many parents may not realize this or New York voters, but there are superintendents in each of the 32 community school districts. But they, I gather, they don't do very much, but they might in the future?
Right. So the superintendents right now have been given lots of responsibilities outside of the schools they are technically supposed to supervise, which means that some parents in a school district might not even know who their superintendent is. If they do know who the superintendent is, it could be very difficult to get a hold of that person. And the idea of the problem that that creates is that the superintendent is a person who, you know, ideally would understand what's going on in the neighborhood of schools he's supervising. When he doesn't, it makes it hard to learn information about your neighborhood school. The assembly bill tries to force that superintendent actually to be a superintendent, to supervise the schools, and, you know, presumably that would give more information to parents, giving that person a little bit more stability.
Okay. I'm Beth Fertig in for Brian Lehrer, and I'm talking to Elizabeth Green of the website GothamSchools.org. Let's talk about some of the politics involved in this. So the Assembly passed that bill last week, preserving mayoral control of the schools, and as we know now, nothing is happening in the Senate because of this dispute over who's in charge, the Democrats or the Republicans. There is a new leader of the Democratic caucus in the state Senate, John Sampson, a senator from Brooklyn, who has been an opponent of mayoral control of the schools, even though he originally voted to give the mayor that power in 2002. Now, we were talking about the Panel for Educational Policy, which is controlled by the mayor. John Sampson seems to want to weaken the mayor's power over this panel. Now that he's in a leadership post, how much sway does he have? If the Senate were to get back into session and things were to start moving, could John Sampson be an obstacle in Mayor Bloomberg's eyes to preserving mayoral control since he's been a critic?
I think that is what a lot of opponents of mayoral control are praying will happen, that John Sampson really will be able to follow through on his promise to fight the assembly bill, which the mayor supports, and to add more checks to the mayor's power. Whether it's really going to happen, I think, is a different question. There's obviously lots of variables in the political equation. He is one of several senators who introduced a counter bill that is supported by one of the main groups arguing for more checks to the mayor's power. But, you know, not all the Democrats agree with him, I think. At least one today signed on to this exact same version of the bill that was passed in the Assembly. That's Daniel Squadron from Manhattan, the new
senator. So is it just a few people who are being very noisy and saying we want to put more checks on the mayor's power in the Senate? Or is it going to be like the Assembly, where the vast majority of the Assembly members, especially from New York City, voted to keep mayoral control pretty much as is? Do you see a different dynamic in the Senate?
I think that there's not going to be such a vast majority because there's just no single leader like Sheldon Silver, the Speaker of the Assembly, who can have that kind of a coalition. But you know, all they need is a majority, and I think there might. It looks to me like there's going to be a majority to support the assembly bill. Now we have one Democratic vote. On the Republican side, there's wide support for Mayor Bloomberg and for his version of mayoral control. Seems to me that, you know, those two things come together and mean that it's going to be a hard fight for John Sampson.
We've gotten one call from Susan of Morningside Heights. You have a question, I understand, about what would happen in this gridlock with federal funds. Susan?
Hi, yes. Thanks for taking my call. I'm also a member of the Parent Commission on Mayoral Control and School Governance, and we've actually gotten backers in the Senate for our proposed bill. And suddenly Sampson seems to be backing off a little from, you know, complete embracement of it. Now he's talking about tweaks. So my question is this. Arne Duncan has this $5 billion pot of money in the
stimulus package. The U.S. Education Secretary.
Yes, the pot of money called the Race to the Top money, and it's contingent on things like no charter caps, mayoral control, merit pay for teachers, computerized tracking of students, and so on. So I'm wondering if Elizabeth Green has heard anything in Albany, you know, in terms of are people being kind of strong-armed into backing the Padovan bill or the assembly bill because of this money?
Well, have you heard that Arne Duncan specifically said you must support mayoral control in order to get Race to the Top money? I haven't heard him say that. I've heard him certainly say that he's going to be really tough about who gets this special pot of innovation dollars, and certainly charter schools is an issue that he said, you know, a state that supports charter schools will be more likely to get the money. Haven't heard them say that about mayoral control, but I do think that it's important to think about the role that the president and Arne Duncan are playing in this debate in New York City, which is, from what historians tell me, a little bit unprecedented, this federal involvement.
In April, he made a speech saying, I'll come to your cities, I'll talk to, not to your parents, I'll talk to your editorial boards about how important mayoral control is. It goes back to then that it seemed to be part of the mix.
Definitely a lot of statements from the federal government. Thank you, Susan. Elizabeth, we have to wrap up soon, but I just want to get back to the caller had mentioned John Sampson, the new Democratic leader in the Senate, who now seems to be backing off of his previously much more critical role in mayoral control, where he was saying it needs to be weakened. And one thing, we don't know John Sampson very well. I'm told that he's kind of a power broker in Albany, that he's not somebody who races to the microphones, but that he may, in fact, be somebody that Republicans can deal with. Do you get the feeling from talking to lawmakers that this is a lot of posturing and that in the end, the few Democrats and Republicans who really matter in setting the agenda are going to be able to work this out?
I think one thing that's important to remember is the pressure that everyone's facing here, which is the assembly is set to leave this week, all of the members of the assembly, and the Senate hasn't voted on anything yet. So if they vote on something that changes the bill that passed the assembly, what that means is that the two houses would have to somehow come to an agreement together. Meanwhile, the assembly members have all gone home for vacation, and you know, it's hard to imagine how that could happen. And what people in Albany tell me is that just that very structural fact that there is no time left, we have this deadline of June 30th, means that it would be very difficult to have any kind of negotiations and get any change from the assembly bill.
But would Republicans actually risk letting the law expire because they have clearly benefited from contributions by Mayor Bloomberg? Do you get the sense that they feel indebted to him and they are afraid to risk that expiration date of June 30th?
I think that the Republicans do exhibit an indebtedness. If you look at the person who introduced the bill that the mayor supports in the Senate, the first person to do that was Frank Padovan from Queens. And if you remember last year, I remember I was reporting on a fight about whether it was appropriate that just before his election, which was a very close election in the Senate, Frank Padovan had a school site named after him in Queens, which is a kind of unprecedented to have a sitting state senator and a living person have a school named after him. So, yes, the mayor has, you know, given a lot of support to Republicans in the Senate. And, you know, you'd be foolish to think that that doesn't matter.
So what do you think would happen? Is there a doomsday plan in case June 30th comes and goes? Because then the city school system would have to revert to the old Board of Education with seven members, only two of which are picked by the mayor, and they could presumably fire the school's chancellor if they all ganged up against him, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a fascinating possibility. I never thought this could happen, but people are actually talking about. So in the case of this happening, who would sit on the citywide school board? Would it be the people who are sitting on it in 2002? Who would sit on the community school boards that used to exist and used to have actual some actual powers? What I hear is the more likely outcome is that the two houses in Albany could come together and say, we're just going to postpone this. We're going to procrastinate and just extend the current law for maybe 2 or 3 months. I'm not sure of the time period, and try to come up with an agreement in that time period.
Right, and just punt. All right, we'll have to leave it there and see what happens as the saga continues.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. I'm Beth Fertig in for Brian Lehrer, and I've been speaking to Elizabeth Green of GothamSchools.com. No, actually, it's GothamSchools.org. Thank you so much for joining me. And up
next,
we'll look at some of the results from Mayor Bloomberg's management of the schools. This is The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC Radio. Back in a moment.